Father, we honor your name this morning, God. We bless your name, God. We thank you, God, that you are our hiding place. We thank you as your word says that he who dwells in your secret place dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you that Christ in you we can dwell, in you we live, in you we move and have our being. The word says there is fullness of joy in your praises, God. We love your dwelling place as your psalmist, as the psalmist says, God. And we thank you that this morning, God, you have an appointment with each and every one of us. And my prayer, God, that your purpose shall prevail in every heart. Lord, as your word says that the word of the Lord came to Samuel, we pray, God, that each and every one of us will connect with your word, God. Lord, your word says that you sent your word and your word healed them. Lord, we pray that your word this morning shall fulfill the only thing that the word, your word can fulfill. We pray, God, that this morning you shall establish things that you alone can establish. Father God, we pray that this morning you shall do that which you have decided to do, you have decided to do this morning. Lord, we pray that you may have your way. Not my way, but your way, God. We pray that you open our hearts to connect with you, to connect with your purpose, God. We pray, God, that the things that have been taking place that were not supposed to take place, we pray, God, that they shall be removed. We pray that the things that can be shaken, God, be removed, that the things that are unshakable may remain in our hearts, Lord. In our midst, God, in our cities, God. We pray, God, that you'll bind us together to the things that are eternal, to the things that engage with eternity, your purposes, God. We pray, God, that as we sharing your word, we pray, God, that it shall be a sound of the release of the knowledge of your glory. As your word says that like the water covers the sea, the knowledge of the glory of your glory shall fill the earth, God. And we pray, God, that this morning you shall give us a word, you shall give us a sound that will really bring us in a place where we release as well a sound that release the knowledge of your glory in every place we go. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very thankful to God for this morning, for what God is going to do and for what God is already doing, and just for the ability to stand on our feet, to worship, to praise, and to really just engage with God. Sometimes we take for granted just the ability of being able to stand on our feet and to speak. One day, when I went to Armand's wedding, I was driving with one of the students' parents, and his mother was telling me, you know, the story around his birth and how when he was born, he already had a problem with his, one of his legs grew much longer than the other. And when he was born, he had to go already through a surgery. And there was not enough chance that he could survive through that. And miraculously, God still kept him. And it was such a tough journey. And I realized, wow, sometimes we just don't realize how blessed we are, even if we are just able to stand on our feet and have a conversation with someone. You know, and when I heard the story and just the circumstances through which he went through in school and even in high school, how tough it was, you know, for him as a child. And the blessing as well of just him joining the community's experience, that small group, and how that was a blessing to his parents. And I realize sometimes we just take things for granted. There is so much that we have to give thanks to God for. You know, the Bible says, he who offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. And I truly believe it's such a powerful key for us to really access the presence of God. As the scripture says in Psalms, that enter his gate with thanksgiving and praise. I believe one of the things that unlocks the gates of heaven is praise and thanksgiving. So I truly want to encourage you just to have that habit where every morning, every day, even if you do not necessarily go to someone and say, you can just have a time where you just say to the Father, thank you. Thank you that I can stand. Thank you that I can read, that I can hear, that I can engage, that I can understand, that I can do whatever I can. And it's all by grace. And this morning, I'm wanting to share a word with you. You know, when you study the prophetic in the Bible, it's almost like there is I don't know if that is everything, but there is almost like four levels of the prophetic in the Bible. You have what we call a word of prophecy. Like the Bible, the word of prophecy. You'll see many things in the Old Testament that they were a prefiguration of the things to come. The Bible says they were shadow of the things to come. Many things spoke about Jesus in the Old Testament. The prophetic word or word of prophecy. Then you have what we call a gift of prophecy. Like in 1 Corinthians 12, it speaks about the gift of prophecy. And then you have in 1 Samuel, you find it what the scripture called the spirit of prophecy. And then in Ephesians 4, we find what we call the office of the prophets. And I'm not necessarily going to teach about the prophetic this morning, but I'm going to speak about how does it look like to live as a prophet. Because sometimes it's one thing to be a community that have received prophetic words, or it's one thing to be to have received the prophetic word over your life, but it is another thing to live as a prophet. You know, you find churches that have received prophetic words, but not necessarily living as a prophetic community. And it's very important for us to really be able to kind of know how to draw these lines in terms of knowing when are we just in a prophetic atmosphere, spirit of prophecy. When are we dealing with just a prophetic gift? When are we just dealing with the word of prophecy? And when are we really dealing with the office of the prophets? And I think the hearts of God isn't about an individual. The heart of God is about a community. In fact, in Joel, the Bible says, in the last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The dream of God, even Moses said, God wants all of you to become prophets. The dream of God was that every son and daughter of him shall be able to hear and see what he's doing and live accordingly. And I'm going to share from the life of Jacob, which I found very profound. And I'm sure most of us know the story of Jacob. His son of Isaac and his grandfather Abraham had a covenant with God in Genesis chapter 12. You see, when he receives the call from God, he had encounters with the Lord, that the Lord called him to shift from his country and to go to Canaan, which then later became the land of his descendants. And then he had a son, Isaac. We know the story. And then from Isaac was Jacob and Esau. And we know the story. Jacob received the blessing from his father, the blessing that was supposed to be given to the firstborn, received it. Then he ran away from his brother, and later I had an encounter in Luz where he saw the heaven, he saw the angels ascending and descending, called that place Bethel. And then he had children, and he had 12 children, and one of them was Joseph. We know the story. Joseph found himself in Egypt, because he was sold by his brother and everything, and he was arrested, and then later on became a governor. And when he became a governor, Pharaoh gave him one of the rewards. He became a governor. He also gave him a wife, and the name of his wife was Asenath. And this woman, her father was called Potiphar. So we're going to read on the first slide just a little bit about that. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is healed." This is when Jacob have already moved to Egypt after Joseph became the governor and everything. And this is almost in the last days of his life. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is healed." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Let's go to the next slide. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give you this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.'" Go to the next slide as well. "And now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, and as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in the inheritance." I'm going to read again this, and it says, "And now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their fathers and in the inheritance. Let's go to the next slide as well. This is another chapter. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath. I can't pronounce that. Paneer, whatever. And he gave, just read that. Just read it. And he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. This is very significant scripture, because when this was the time when Jacob was about to die, and Jacob arrives in Egypt. He found really Joseph prospering and everything, and he's a leader, very influential person in the land. But then in the last days of his life, Jacob does a very significant thing, which in the natural it's quite weird, because he was already old, and how do you adopt children while you're almost at the end of your life? You know, did he have to do it? Because in the previous chapter we read, he said, can we go back to that slide? He said that Manasseh, these two, they shall be mine. So it's very interesting that Jacob had to do this particular action before he died. And he said, one of the root reason, which I'm going to explain later, has to do with, as you see in this verse, it says, and now the two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt. He repeats Egypt two times. Are mine, and Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine. So you'll see the most significant things here are Egypt and also the time when Jacob arrived. In other words, these sons were born before he arrived, and also the place where they were born. Because I'm going to explain again later about the two, why I'm emphasizing on the two. Let's go to the next slide, which is the 41. So Joseph arrives and found, Jacob arrived and found Joseph married to Asenath. And Asenath was the daughter of Potipharah, who was a priest of On. And priest of On was God, like On was like God the Son. So he was being worshipped as God the Son in Egypt. And scholars say that they agree that he was an high priest. You know, and it was very close to where Cairo is in Egypt today, and it was like the 8th quarter of the where God the Son was being celebrated. And this guy was a very influential person in Egypt. And today, if we have to kind of think of a guy like that, we'll probably say he was probably an occultic man. He was in the occult, all right? So he was worshiping God the Son. But now, if you think logically, before Jacob arrived, the family, the only family that Joseph had was the family of this man, his grandfather, which was a family that was not worshiping the God of Abraham. It was a family that was busy worshiping God the Son. They were busy in idolatry. So Joseph's children, the only background probably which they have was a family, was had to do with some kind of spirituality which wasn't in alignment with the gods of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But now, if you read now in the previous chapter which I read, we can come back again to that slide, the very first slide. One of the things that you see is that it says, now let's go to the next, right after this one. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me in Luz. This is a very important thing, that when Jacob is start now engaging with Joseph before he blessed his sons, Jacob is telling him about his experiences. Luz was actually the place where, which we call Bethel, the place where he had this encounter where he saw angels ascending and descending. And if you read in Genesis chapter 12, you actually see that was the very same place where Abraham built an altar to God, without knowing that one day his grandson will arrive there and will have an encounter. When he was running from his brother, he was just lying on a stone. And suddenly, he had a dream, and he saw angels ascending and descending. And he said, wow, surely the Lord is here. And I didn't know this is the gates of heaven. And this was the very same place where Abram built an altar previous years before. One of the lessons through that is that when we do engage with God, when we worship, when we pray, we are not wasting our time. There are some times where you can pray and feel like nothing has just happened. But in the spiritual realm, there is a seed that we sow. That is why Jesus said, my house shall be called an house of prayer. Because when we pray, when we declare things, we establish things in the spirit. And in this was in the natural realm where Abram connected with God. That even after many years when his grandson arrived and connected with God, suddenly there was a connection. It was already established because his grandfather built an altar to God. And sometimes even in people who are in the darkness, sometimes this thing happened that you get in some places. There was an house in Kenworth where people would, if you arrived, I mean, in that house, they were struggling with the fact that if you enter there, you'll feel people walking on the roof. And sometimes you will be in the lounge, you're feeling people in the kitchen, they are talking and they are making noise. And if you enter there, you don't see anybody. Because those places, there were altars, demonic altars being built there, where there is a massive interaction of the demonic realm. But I believe we are blessed people. We carry the presence of God, and wherever we go, we carry that presence. We do not create a controlling atmosphere like we see in the demonic realm, but we actually create an environment where people can truly worship God. There are even houses where even if you enter, you can just connect with the heart of God. There is just so much peace because that is what we carry. Even churches, sometimes one can just step into a church and automatically connect with God. And that is why it's very important for us to really steward very well the whole a culture of praying, because when we pray, we release a sound, we create an environment where people can even benefit from what we are doing. Sometimes the Lord leads us to go and pray in areas where you don't feel like going. Maybe the Lord says, go and stand on the main road to pray. But the Lord knows that maybe one day somebody will stand right there and connect with the Lord without having to pray it first, because somebody was obedient and created a spiritual dynamic which allowed the person to connect with God, which was the case now of Jacob. But now Jacob is moving to Egypt with all of this experience, with all of this package. He didn't move as a naive guy. So he's telling him, I had this experience, and behold, I will make you fruitful, and I will make, this is the promise that God had, and I will make you a company of people, and I will give you the land to your offspring after you have an everlasting possession. So Jacob, when he went to Egypt, he went as a man who have already had an encounter with God. He had the story of God. He had experiences of God. He had all of that as a package with him. And he wasn't naive. But the thing is, when he arrived in the land, when he arrived in Egypt, he found his son prosperous, going forward in life, you know, very influential in the country. But Joseph had a problem. His sons were born, and were born out of a family where the grandfather was not aligned in the order of Abram, a man that was worshiping another god, and that was already a danger for Joseph. Because before his brothers and his father moved there, that was probably the family he spent the most time with. So if you think of that in our context today, so the father-in-law of Joseph was almost a witch. He was a witch man. But now, this is the kind of, but now Jacob, as a spiritual man, understood these things. Jacob, as a prophet, he understood the spiritual realm. And he could see things from a distance. But now, Jacob did a very prophetic, significant thing. What he did is, instead of dealing with things in the natural, before he died, you know what he did? He decided to adopt the sons of Joseph. And he adopted them as his own sons, in the same rank as Reuben and Simeon, in the same rank as the other brothers. So in other words, if you study the sons of Jacob in terms of the inheritance, they received actually the firstborn blessing of Jacob, from Jacob. He decided to adopt them. In other words, from that time, they were no longer in a position where Potiphar could have an influence on them. He realigned them under the blessing which was spoken to Abraham, their grandfather. He realigned them under that legacy. And that was a very significant thing for Jacob to do, because he knew that had to do with the destiny of his grandson. He could see the danger that his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were going through. And I believe living as a prophet, it's very important. It has to do with your mindset and how we read circumstance and how we engage with the circumstance around us and looking at them from God's perspective. Let's go to the next slide. So if you look at the life of Jacob, one of the things that you'll see as a prophetic man, he had an encounter with God. Most prophets in the Bible, when you read the steps that led them into that realm of the prophetic, first of all, you'll see an encounter of God. It all started Moses, an encounter of God. Abraham, an encounter of God. Isaiah, an encounter of God. Many times you'll see many prophets in the Bible, one of the first steps that happened before they started functioning as prophets, they had an encounter with God. And many times you'll see there was even a cleansing and a commissioning. And Joseph, Jacob, understood as well worship. He understood the power of building an altar. He understood the power of connecting with God. And because he had an understanding of what it means to deal with the spiritual realm, he couldn't let his family, he couldn't let his grandsons from Joseph to be in a realm where they will have a confusion, where on one day they go and worship God the Son, and the next day they worship Yahweh. He had to reposition them spiritually. And what is significant is that when he blessed them, he didn't bless them amongst the other brothers. Probably because he didn't want them to experience the same thing Joseph experienced. He did it in the secret place. And that is exactly the place where worship starts. Like Psalm 91 says, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Lord dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. So if we have to think of our journey with God, it starts in the secret place. Before we come into a corporate setting like this, our journey of the Lord starts in the secret place where we have an encounter with Him and where we really learn to pour our hearts before Him. And He understood His authority and He took authority as a prophet. And He also understood adoption. He understood that if these sons can become mine, automatically I have authority over them, and whatever I will declare over them shall come to pass. You actually see in Genesis 40:49 that Jacob blessed all of his sons. He spoke a blessing over them. He could have just chilled and said, well, God already spoke to Abraham that all the descendants shall be blessed. Why should I have to speak? I can just chill and die. Well, he had to speak. There are things in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, which can only be established when we pray, when we speak. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You may say, well, God knows already before we say anything. He already knows what He wants. But why does He want us to pray? Well, that's how He made it. We have to pray. That's how He made it. If we don't pray, it's not going to happen. Even though He knows, He just wants us to pray. So let's pray. The Lord wants us to pray. And the Bible says we have to pray without ceasing. When we pray, there is different levels of prayer. There is a place where we come and bring our request. But there is a place where we can speak things into being. A place where we can take authority. Like I was sharing last time, that when you study the tabernacle, you actually see that if you have to summarize in a prayer kind of way, the outer court spoke about, you know, a place where you really bring your requests and repentance and you ask all of the forgiveness and you bring your requests and the needs and everything. And the holy place speaks about the place where you really want to know God. You're seeking God. I was saying, if you seek me, seeking God doesn't have to do with God hiding and then suddenly you have to find Him. It speaks about just wanting to know Him, wanting to know the Lord. But then the Holy of Holies, that is a different place. That's a place where the Lord now chooses to pray through you. That is the place where God is really introducing us into a place of intercession, a place where we can speak, we feel His mind, and we speak that over the lives of people. Like Jacob, as a prophet, he understood that he had to make utterance of prophetic words over his sons, over his grandsons, and he decided to realign them under the blessing of Abraham, because these sons were running at risk because they grew up in a very confused place. Let's go to the next slide. So now, this is what Jesus did as well with us. Bible says that in John chapter 1 verse, it says that for those that have received him, he has given them the power to become children of God. Bible says again that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Before we had the relationship with God, we were also caught up in a certain legacy. Like I said in the first chapter, you'll see that Jacob repeated two times Egypt. That had to do with the origin of these sons. That's where they were born. And secondly, he spoke about the time before, which is the time before. In other words, there was a difference between the children that were born before he arrived in Egypt and the children that were born after he arrived in Egypt. Because those that were born after he arrived in Egypt, they were already under spiritual covering. He had authority over them. But by the time before he arrived, he didn't have authority. He wasn't there. He didn't even know Asnat. He didn't even know the family very well. But by the time he arrived, all of the children that were born after he arrived, he had authority over them. Therefore, he had to play a massive role. He had to adopt them in order for him to have a full-on authority. And first of all, he spoke about the origin, where they came from. So now, we as well, before we came to Christ, we came from a certain background. We came from a certain background that carried many things. Sometimes blessings and curse and everything, no matter how it was. What Jesus did, he didn't want to come and upgrade us. What Jesus has done, he has adopted us into God's family. And the Bible says that we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is exactly what Christ has done as well. Just like Jacob did with Manasseh and Ephraim, he repositioned them in a position which they didn't necessarily have the right. Now they had the same right of receiving the blessing as Levi and Dan and other sons. He repositioned them. And therefore, if you study actually Leviticus and all of these books, you actually see that the tribe of Ephraim had a lot of influence. And it still had a lot of influence throughout. I mean, why? Because there was a blessing that was in their lives. But now what Christ did is that no matter where we came from, no matter where you are at, no matter what you've had as a background, no matter what you've had as a legacy, whether if it was a satanic or demonic, what Christ has done is that he has taken you, he has taken us, and he has repositioned us in him. So that in him we may live, we may move, and have our being. And when he established us in us, then whatever was his has become ours. That's why the Bible speaks of us being co-heir with Christ. Therefore, we do not have to strive. Why? Because Christ, who is greater than Jacob, have repositioned us into a perfect covenant. We are dealing with the heavenly God. Therefore, when we pray, we do not have to strive. We have the one who's greater than Jacob. Jacob wasn't omnipresent, because if he was omnipresent, he could then already control the marriage of Joseph. He could then already fix things. But God is omnipresent. Before we knew him, he was already there. While we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still away from him, he was already there. In our pain and the rejections and the issues we've had before we encountered him, he was already there. And he already made a plan. And all we had to do is to believe that we are adopted. There is a guy in one of the small group that I lead, rugby small group. He was adopted. His parents were from Angola. He has never seen his dad. He grew up with his mom when he was 9. His mom died. And he was adopted in Malmesbury by an English family. When I met him, I never understood, why does this guy sound so British? He's black. But the thing is, when he was adopted, he had the full right to benefit from anything from his current parents. No matter where he came from, by the time they decided to adopt him as a son, he had the right to everything. He was heading their farms and everything. He had the right because he became a son. But he had to choose to believe that these were his parents. And I believe even for us, if we have to experience fully what we have received in God, we have to live by faith. We have to believe in what God says in His Word, in the declaration of His Word. But sometimes as well, as a people, as a community, we're living in a city that have also been exposed to many things. There is a lot of seed that have been planted from the demonic. There is a lot of things that have been established by man. There is a lot of things that are in chaos. But we have to decide to be prophetic by dedicating these places to God, dedicating the city to God. We are positioned in families. We are positioned in many spheres of influence. But it is very important for us to have a prophetic sight like Jacob, where we have to look at the situation and say, okay, well, these things happen this way, but we do have authority. As a people of God, if we pray, if we cry out to God, if we repent and we turn away from our wickedness, the Lord shall heal our lands. Therefore, as a prophetic community, we can come and say, well, understanding what happens in terms of adoption, we can choose to do a spiritual adoption for this land and dedicate this land to God and declare that this city will be the city of God. This city will be a city of God. This family shall be a family of God. There are things that are certain trends that are happening in our lives, in our cities, because there are people who built wrong altars that engage with demonic altars. And therefore, even Christians are victim of these things because of those demonic covenants that have been made. You know, there's just a very bad dynamic, but there has to be someone that will come as Jacob, that will come as the prophet to reverse the curse. When God called Gideon, one of the things He said to him, he had to reverse the altar of Baal when the Lord called him. And if that is in Judges 6:25, where the Lord said to him, he had to completely pull it down and then to build an altar to God. The altar that speaks about worship. And when we read the story of Elijah, he was about to, you know, there were confusion. People were worshiping Baal and worshiping Yahweh. There was this confusion. When he was about to call on the name of the Lord, after the prophet of Baal failed, the God of Baal couldn't answer and everything, one of the things that the Bible says, it says that he rebuilt the altar. He rebuilt the altar before he prayed. He rebuilt the altar. And Jesus, in 1 John 3:8, says that He came to destroy the works of the evil one. There are certain things that are happening in different cultural groups because there were demonic altars that were built. Altars has to do with practical actions that are done to engage with the spiritual realm. And for us as believers, what we are called to do is to worship God. As we worship God, that's why I'm really loving this local mission, because it's a very prophetic action that we're doing over our city. We are bringing our city back to God. Over our region, we are bringing our region to God. So no matter where you are at, it is very important that if you know that in your personal life, there are things that are there that are not supposed to be there, you do have authority to redeem those things by engaging with God in prayer. Why? Because He came to destroy the works of the evil ones. If you know that perhaps in your own personal life, there are things that are the works of the evil one, then you already have a promise that Christ has already come to destroy them. And you can just come into perfect alignment and perfect agreement with Him. If we know that, for example, in whatever context you are, there are things that are being there. There is a trend of behavior, of actions, of certain things that you may be struggling with for a while, that you know that are there, but it's not supposed to be there. You have authority. Christ has already adopted you into His family. In the same way the Father loved Jesus, in the same way He loves us. In the same way He answered this prayer, in the same way He will answer your prayer. In the same way He loved Jesus, that is exactly the same way He loved us. Jesus said, the same glory that You gave to Me, You also gave to them. And that is the blessing that we have as the people of God. We have already Jesus that have already made a way for us to live in complete authority. I believe when we pray as a people, when we pray not as a people that are living as victim. When Joseph, when Jacob went to Egypt, yes, there was an issue of food and everything, but he didn't go as a man striving for food. He didn't go with a spiritual naivete. No. He went there as a spiritual man, awakened to the Lord, understanding the spiritual realm, with an experience with God. That is why he's quoting to Joseph about the place where he had an encounter with God. And sometimes we as Christians, we live with some kind of spiritual naivete where we are just sleeping and we do not take our authority, the authority that we have as the people of God. Therefore, we have the authority to speak, to plant, to uproot, to remove all of these things because he has already given us the keys as a prophetic community. The focus in this new dispensation isn't about a man being just a prophet, but it's a dispensation where all of us can live and declare the word of the Lord. One of the definitions of a prophet is the word of is actually the mouth of God, the one who speaks the mind of God. And if you know what is the mind of God over your life, over your family, and over the city, over the nation, then just speak it. Coming into perfect agreement with him. I love the scripture that Pastor D just read. Last night as I was praying, I saw a group of people running. As they were running, they failed and they injured themselves. And when he read that scripture, I was so blessed by that because that speaks about God being our protection, being our covering, being our covering. Even if things are there that have been taking place before you knew Christ, just like Jacob, before he arrived in Egypt, Joseph was already in this setup, which might have caused damage later in the future. Christ has already made the adoption. He has already made a plan. So I would love us to stand, and we're going to pray. I would love us to pray as people with authority. You know, you probably know what's going on in your life. I don't even want to tell you what to pray about. But what I want you to do is to take authority. Sometimes we are just naive spiritually, and the Lord wants us to be awakened. Like Jacob, when he arrived in Egypt, he was a mighty man. He arrived as a mighty man. And one of the words that God gave us this year is to awaken the mighty man. God is saying to us, awaken. Be awakened, mighty man. Like to Gideon, he says, you're a mighty warrior. But what he had to do, he had to destroy first the altar of Baal. What are the things that are there that still need to be removed, that you just have to bring before God, that perhaps are standing between what God is about to do and your relationship with him? Then I would love you just to, as they'll be playing just the guitar, just to engage with God. Just to engage with God. Just to pour yourself before him. Just start praying and really engage with him. Say to the Father, I come to your altar. If there are things that have to be laid down, then lay them down. Hallelujah. He said, my house shall be called an house of prayer. Oh yes, Lord. Who can be compared to you, God? Who can be compared to you? Lord, we do not want to live as victims, but we want to live as victors. Want to live as people that have authority. That understand the authority that has been given to us in Christ. Lord, we pray, God, even before our birth, if there were things that were done that have been having an influence in our lives until today, we pray, God, that every curse shall be broken in the name of Jesus. For you came to destroy the works of the evil one. Father, we pray, God, that you come and deliver us, Lord, from the things that are there that aren't supposed to be there. Lord, we pray that you give us a revelation of what it means to be in Christ, to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Father, we pray that you reveal to us what it means to belong to you and to be adopted in you, to have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we did not receive a spirit of fear. Father, we pray that you give us a revelation of what it means to really walk in authority and to take hold of the promises and the words you have given to us as a people and as a community. Lord Jesus, we pray, God, that we will walk with the blessing that you have already declared, oh Father, and that we will faithfully steward the mandate that you have given to us as your people. Hallelujah. We're going to be taking communion now. Just before we take communion, if you're here and you just know that there are things that are there that aren't supposed to be there, or perhaps there is certain things that might have happened out of your control that are still having an influence in your life, and this morning you really want to really bring yourself to Christ and really trust that He repositions you, that you walk in the repositioning that He has done, then I would just love you to put your hand up, and I'm going to be praying. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but we're just going to trust together that the Lord does what only alone can do. And then we'll take communion together. So if you're here, you just want to receive prayer in areas of your life where there are things that are there that aren't supposed to be there. Maybe it could be even something that you've been struggling with for a long time. But let's believe tonight, this morning, the Lord wants to deliver us from things that are not of His, so that we can truly walk in the full authority. Thanks for those hands. Father, thank you. Thank you for your people. Thank you, God, that you've made a way for us to know the Father. You've made a way for us, Lord, for us to be free. Thank you that your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father God, we pray, God, that if there are things that have to be removed by you, let them be removed, God. We pray, God, that you will bear the fruit of the seed of your word in our hearts and in our lives, God. Lord, we pray, God, that your hand of grace, that your mighty hand shall deliver us from the trap of the enemy, God. For your word said you came to set the captives free. We pray, God, that you will walk in the freedom that is found in Christ, freedom that is found in you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. I would love us to really take the communion all together as a prophetic action. I know sometimes we can do sometimes these things by habits, but I believe it's powerful. Jesus said, when you do these things, do these things in remembrance of me. So I'm going to pray now just before we take communion. But I would love you to bring just yourself before God. And one of the things that the Lord does as well through the Holy Communion is that it brings physical healing as well. Because it speaks about the finished work of the cross. And it speaks about the blood that was shed for our redemption. The blood of this new covenant. Everything that God did with the Israelites, He did it because He made a covenant with Abraham. But Christ made this perfect covenant through His blood. So as we take the bread and as we drink as well, I would love us to take it as a people. I truly understand that this is Christ. We are doing this in remembrance of Him. Father, we pray as we take this communion, God, that soon this morning you restore our communion with you. This morning you restore our communion with the Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we are not going to engage with you religiously. But we pray, God, that we engage with you relationally as sons and daughters. And we pray, God, that that which was given to us as believers through the work of the cross, that it shall be the portion of each and every one of us. Lord, we pray, the word says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Father, we pray that the victories that was given to us in Christ, that we shall walk in them, even as we have this communion. In Jesus' name, we can take the elements. Oh, thank you for your body that was broken so that we may be healed. I pray, God, that if there are people here in need of physical healing, God, even people that aren't here, God, we pray that they shall be healed, Lord, in your name, God. For your word says, by your stripes, we were healed. Your word says, you shall come as the Son of Justice with healing in your wings, God. We pray, God, that you heal your people. As your word said, you sent your word and your word healed them. We pray, God, that you shall heal us, Lord, from any brokenness in our hearts, in our soul, in our spirit, God. So that we will live holy, Father God, because you've restored and rebuilt us, Lord. We pray this morning, God, that you will take us back to a place of worship that will be dedicated to you, will be dedicated to you, to your presence, God. We will be like Jacob, God. We'll be people that understand worship, that understand to have communion with you. Father God, that understand what it means to have an encounter with you. I pray, God, if there are some of us, God, that haven't had that encounter, we pray, God, that we will truly encounter you. We'll encounter your truth. We'll encounter your grace. And we will walk with you, Holy Spirit. And your word said that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Lord, we pray that we will be effective witnesses, Lord, as being led by your spirit, God. I pray, God, for each and every one of us this morning, God, that your spirit shall lead us and guide us. Oh, Father God, I pray that your spirit shall, Father God, restore intimacy in the hearts of your people this morning, God. And restore intimacy with you. Father God, shall restore that place, Lord, of receiving divine directions by you. God, I pray that you restore the ability of your people to see, just like Jacob was able to see even in his dreams, God. We pray, as you said to Nathanael, from now on you'll see angels ascending and descending. God, I pray that you restore in every heart the ability to see your work, God, to see beyond the natural, to see beyond the circumstances, to see beyond the pain, to see beyond the disappointment. But Father God, to engage with you on a different level. Lord, we pray that you shall be people that will walk with revelation, that will walk with the revelation of Christ. God, I pray that you reveal to us, that will come and enlighten our hearts so that we may know what is the authority that we have received in Christ, what is the inheritance that we have received in you. Lord, we pray that the eyes of our understanding shall be enlightened by you through your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for those that have been living as victims. God, I pray, God, that you shall, and Father God, empower each and every one of us to live as victor. You shall give us, Father God, the revelation of the finished work of the cross. That on the cross, it was finished, God. I pray, God, that you will give us strength, Lord, to live as victorious ones, God. To live as victorious ones. Even some of us, Father God, that are like Gideon saying, no, how can you call me mighty warrior? Father God, I pray that today you shall restore our perspective so that we'll look at things. We'll look at this church, look at this city, we'll look at our families, look at this nation as you do, God. That we will deal with this thing. We will live as prophets. We will live as people that understand your mind and speak your mind, God. Lord, I pray that our mouth shall be filled with praise, shall be filled with your word, God. We pray that you will be a people that will desire to hear your word in this, Father God, in these seasons where your word has become rare on our medias, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that we will long to dwell next to the Ark of Covenant like Samuel, to hear your voice, to hear the voice of the Father. Lord, we pray that you restore our ability to be submitted to your word, to be submitted to your voice, God. We pray that we shall be a community that are living completely in intimacy with you, that are living, God, as prophets, God. So that as the world sees us, as this nation sees us, as the nation looks at us, they can see what you are doing. They can see you, and they can connect with your purpose, God. As Isaiah says, I and my children, we are sons and warning in Israel. God, we pray that we shall walk like that, God. That we shall be a sign, Lord, a sign in this nation, and sign that points your people to Christ, a sign that points your people to the Father. A sign and warning in this nation, in Cape Town, God. Lord, restore our ability to worship, God. Restore our ability to connect with you on a deeper level. On a deeper level, God. Restore our connection with you. Restore our connection with you, God. Hallelujah. Just want us to be just quiet for 1 minute. We don't have to play guitar. Just going to be quiet before God. And just want us to bring ourselves before Him.